Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 3rd of February. I'm Paul White, hoping that your week gets off to a fantastic start and that your February is off to an equally great start. Your first weekend is behind you of this month, and if you're heading off to work, we just pray grace and favor and blessings on what you do. May you do it as stress-free as possible, and may you do it always abounding in grace and peace in the work of the Lord. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Today we are beginning the 8th verse. Let's read 8, 9, 10, and 11 today. See if we can accomplish this little passage. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble or tribulation, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does or shall deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. There's a couple of translation things happening here, a couple of words that are added. I'll get to that as we break down this passage. But overall, let's make sure we understand time, place, and setting, the context of what's going on. When Paul talks about having had tribulation in Asia, we can't be completely positive what he's talking about, but it might be his experience at Ephesus in Acts 19. Now, Acts 19, a 41-verse chapter that basically talks about Paul passing through the upper regions and going through Ephesus, and while he's there, great miracles happen. This is that incident where handkerchiefs or aprons come from the body of Paul. He touches them, and evil spirits leave the people who are touched by those handkerchiefs, and that causes a revival of sorts in Ephesus, in which they bring a bunch of witchcraft books and things and burn them together in the middle of the chapter. And then there's a riot, and that riot causes Paul and his traveling companions to be manhandled and treated pretty rough. The scripture names off Gaius, Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's travel companions, and it talks a lot about them being in Asia. That's what's led scholars to believe that when you get to 2 Corinthians 1:8 and Paul talks about our trouble which came to us in Asia, the most direct written link that we have to trouble in Asia is the Ephesus story. However, unless there's more than meets the eye in the Ephesus story, nothing really actually happens to Paul. They're roughed up a little bit, but he sees far worse in the book of Acts. They have about a two-hour public riot in which it looks like they're going to be torn limb from limb, but ultimately, again, nothing really happens. I say all of that because when you read this 8th and 9th verse particularly, listen to 9 again. We have the sentence of death in ourselves so that we should not trust in ourselves but in God who raises the dead. The last line of verse 8, we despaired even of life. If the Acts 19 moment in Ephesus where there's this public riot after the burning of the books on witchcraft happened, if that's the incident that caused Paul to despair of life, that made him believe he had the sentence of death in himself, then it would appear that in moments of great trial and stress, Paul was not necessarily cool as a cucumber. He was not necessarily a paragon of faith who walked about as if nothing could happen to him. In fact, he was afraid he was going to die. He believed he was going to die. And he stopped trusting himself to do anything about it and leaned into the fact that God is the resurrector and thus God has his life in his hands. And I think there's a couple of fitting things to talk about here. One, the fact that Paul shows forth his humanity in a way that would probably have been denigrated in some circles of churches I've been in, because Paul didn't seem like he had his confession in the right spot. You know, he should have been bold and powerful. I'm not going to die. I'm the favorite of God. But instead, he said, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. We despaired even of our lives. The second important thing is that he leans into the God whom he says raises from the dead shall raise us from the dead also. So it's the same idea that he has at the end of 1 Corinthians 15 when he's talking about resurrection. And as we said for weeks during that journey, I think that was as much or more spiritual than it is physical in the realm of Paul, or at least think of it this way. For Paul, maybe the term of resurrection has to do with the fact that you live on after you die, that you're not done. And so that's what Paul leaned into in his moment of crisis was, well, God's got us. And that's kind of where I am on the journey of what's this look like when people die? Where do they go? Well, maybe we're not asking the right questions. Maybe it's not about where they go. Maybe we should start to teach people what they have while they're on this in this dimension, because we go apparently into the same glory that that Jesus had with the Father before the world began. He prayed that we receive that glory. So we move into that realm, that dimension, but he has our hand. So even when there's fear, even when there's doubt that we don't know if we're going to make it, we don't know what tomorrow holds. Well, first of all, when there's that kind of thing happening, don't let people make you feel as if you are somehow a fool because you, or not, let me say that differently, not make you feel as if you're a fool. Don't let people make you feel as if you don't have faith because you see death as a possibility. I was talking to someone just this last week and said, I really wish that believers could embrace death better than we do. I don't, who wants to celebrate death, but at least not go down acting as if death's not a possibility. Rather, if we embraced it or accepted that it is a possibility, then we might be able to speak life into the people that we're leaving behind rather than denial. The other thing is sort of a logistics thing, sort of a literary thing, and that is when you take a look at the scripture, there's a moment or two where there's an italicized word that was added by the translators that does put a little twist. One particular word is that little word us at the end of verse 10. Let me read verse 10 again with 11, because it's all actually one sentence. Who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us, you also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. The word us and the word granted are added. They're not in there. And I don't know that the word us with the comma falls in the right place, because there's no commas in the Greek either. Take the word us out, and I think he might be talking about not just that God's able to deliver us, but that God's able to deliver you, my Corinthian friends. Let's read it without the us. Who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver you also, helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift to us through many. And I think that could be what Paul's saying. It's just an interesting moment there with that us. Okay, tomorrow we'll start verse 12. I'll see you then. God bless.